All right, so we'll say good morning. Let's begin. So we're picking up on the bottom of page 36. So remember, again, just to reorient ourselves a little bit, so if Kashtil was telling us, let's actually pick up 2, 4, 6, 7 lines up from the bottom. We did it already once, but let's just look at it again. So Davar Rishon, so remember again, still dealing in the Chilek of Zihirus, still dealing with the topic in terms of living life with an attentiveness and alacrity. So Davar Rishon, L'mayines HaChaim Shavanu, L'shnei Chalokim, Livare Mahu Atovu Mahu Ara. So number one says Rav Kashtil, and again, this is based on the words of the Ramchal. So there are two parts to ultimately developing a sense of zihirus. So part number one, lemayin means like to categorize. So to categorize one's life into two parts, to distinguish that which is good and that which is bad. Lilmod ma'nikra tovu ma'nikra ra, to really be able to discover in life what is called good, what is called bad. Pikuach halachai maschel b'miyun. Without categorizations of what is good and what is bad, it's impossible to avoid that which is bad, and ultimately to seize upon that which is good. La da'as kol hazman, eize chalokim shayach l'tov, ve'eize chalokim shayachim l'ra. Person has to know at all times what part is subject to good, and what part is subject, not subject, but which parts of life are shayach to good, which parts of life are shayach to not good. So that's number one. Number one, the number one approach ultimately to being successful in life, or to, I should say to having zihiros in life, is categorization and identification. What is tov and what is ra? Davar sheni, lahavchin ma mevi lidei ra, uma movil lidei tov. But let's say the second part to successful living is zihiros is what? To identify, remember we spoke about this on Friday, to identify the triggers. The triggers. What are the things ultimately, again, that lead me to good actions? And what are the things that lead to negative actions? So you hear this two-step process. Step one, identification. What is tov? What is ra? That's pretty much just borrowed. Well, these are both borrowed. We'll see from the Ramchal. Part two is identify what actions lead me towards tov. What actions lead me towards ra? What are the triggers in life? Absolutely. No parv. Everything in life is either tov or either ra. That's absolutely. That, by the way, is the Ramchal's thesis statement. Yeah, right? There's tov ha'amiti and there's ra ha'amiti. And there's nothing in between. Everything falls into one of those two.
It might be tov for one person, it might be ra for another.
Correct. It doesn't have to be
in the parv zone.
Correct. It doesn't have to be objective classifications. I mean, it could be that, or and I would even take it a step further. Could be that some things which are tov now are ra later, or some things that are ra now, tov later. But everything fits into one of those two categories. So look at this example, Ludugma, top of page 37. For example, Kishomim lecha tizai bikvish. When someone tells you that you're driving, they tell you be careful on the road. Kodem tzarech lahagid lecha mamasukan bikvish. So remember again, so I'm driving, someone tells me, be careful on the road. Okay. In order for that, and I don't mean just like generic advice, be careful when you're driving. Hey, the idea over here is if somebody feels there's a sakana, tell me be careful on the road. That advice is only meaningful if I know what the sakana is. So, ma masukan baderech, umi ma ata tzarech lizar. So the advice itself is only meaningful, A, if I know what it is that's dangerous, and therefore by definition, I can craft my response and figure out how I'm supposed to be careful. V'davar sheni, lahagid lecha, eiza mehisnagios shalcha yicholos lios kshuros lesakanos. And step number two is to identify ultimately what aspects of my driving could trigger the sakana. So again, he's just taking what he just said before and applying it to a very simple example. Someone tells me to be careful when I'm driving. That advice is only meaningful, A, if somebody tells me, number one, what the sakana is, and number two, what is it about my driving that will trigger that sakana? So what is the objective danger, and what is the subjective trigger? So he says, sakana b'nehiga, zelamashal ha'achlik me'akvish l'tahom. So for example, let's say someone tells me, the road is very slippery. The road is very slippery. So what happens? Again, the danger is that I could chas v'shalom slip off the road, slip off the road onto the side. The home literally means, you know, I'm driving on a mountain, fall off the side of the mountain, right? So that's number one. So the sakana is the roads are slippery. Ma'alul ligrom l'nefila l'mashal nesia mihira b'sivuvim. What's the trigger? The trigger would be what? The trigger would be driving too quickly around the turns. So the sakana is that the road is slippery. The trigger is driving too quickly around the turns. As higdarti baya uma'alul ligrom. Now, we'll say, you see the gadlus in this? The gadlus in this approach, and this just, we'll say, you have to understand, all Rav Kashtila is doing throughout this entire Sefer is just taking the words of the Ramchal, and just framing them a little bit differently. But these are all the Ramchal's concepts. So here, look what I've just done. I've identified a danger. The road is slippery. But identifying the danger by itself is only half of the battle, because what do I do with that information? Now, the next part of meaningful information is to identify what is it that I do that triggers that danger. See, he says, "Asigdarti baya," I framed the danger, "uma olul ligrom lo," and what ultimately is the trigger for the danger. Kach gam b'chayim. Says Rav Kashtil, the same concept applies during life. Tzarach l'samein mara umatov. But say in life, I have to ultimately, l'samein means to identify. I have to identify what is bad and what is good. The eze dvarim garmim l'ra o l'tov. And to identify which things will trigger the good or the bad, which things will trigger the good. So number one, objective classifications. What is ra, what is tov? Number two, what actions that I engage in lead me towards ra or trigger the ra? Which ones trigger the tov? Gvura. So we'll say, now he begins something that is really quite fascinating. We'll begin it today. We'll extend it in tomorrow. So gvura. We'll say the notion of strength. Strength. Lada'as lishlot b'chaim. So what is the Jewish attribute? Page 37, middle of the page. What is the Jewish attribute of gvura, the Jewish attribute of strength? Lada'as lishlot b'chaim. We'll say gvura, strength, is the ability to have shlita, to have control over life. Now you'll say to yourself, come on. Right? We spend our lives trying to have control over our lives and it doesn't quite work out. Remember, we're going to see that's often because we try to control the wrong things. You can have control, and you can have control over some very important things. The problem is, again, we spend our lifetimes trying to control things that, A, we're never going to control. We're never going to control. So what does this mean? Ha'isboninos ha'chaluka hazos nikreis gevura. So Rav Kashtil suggests that this thought process that we are currently describing, the two-pronged thought process, number one, identifying what is the raha amiti, what is the tov amiti, part number one, and part two, identifying the triggers for the tov and the triggers for the ra, that is true givura. That's true strength. Hesboninos hachaluka azos nikreis givura. Eich adam niye gibor. Rabbi will say, how is it that a human being, a person, becomes a gibor? Gibor ze adam. Listen to this phrase. Rabbi will say, this should be underlined. Gibor ze adam sheyodea lasos havchanos. Rabbi will say, the true manifestation of gevura is the ability to make distinctions. That's a gibor. A gibor is someone who knows how to make distinctions in life. Malamala, malamata. What's above, what's below. Matov umara adam shelo memayin eschayov lo nikra gibor. Rabbi say a person who does not categorize his life and a person who does not know how to make distinctions in life, such a person is not a gibor. Hu lo yodea mazeh gvura. He does not know what true strength is. Adam shechay chayim zormim velo mechalik eschayov elama sheba ba uma sheholich holich. But say a person who kind of just lives life, shechai chayim zorim, zorim means like a flow. So someone who kind of, I guess the phrase would be, just goes with the flow. Such a person like that, who does not make any distinctions or categorizations in his life, but rather, whatever happens, happens, lo yodea mazeh gvura. He doesn't understand what true strength actually is. Gvura zelada'as lishlot b'chayim. But say true strength means to know lishlot, how to rule, how to control, how to dominate your life. How to dominate your life. Now what does Mubo say? Again, remember, as we just said before, so already Rav Kashtil explained to us that the domination, the shlita that we're talking about, is the shlita over the two-pronged process. To identify, number one, what is the tova amiti, what is the raha amiti, what is the ultimate good, what is the ultimate evil, what is the ultimate ra, and to know ultimately, again, what triggers both of those things for me. If I control that process, that is true gevura. That is true strength. So watch this. Gevura zeh, la'da'as l'shlot b'chayim. Because gevura that we're describing means the ability to dominate, to rule over life. Shlita maschila mehavana liftoach es ha'inayim ulahavin shezeh morkov. So listen to this. The first part of gevura in life begins with opening your eyes. And begins with realizing that life is not as simple as tova amiti and ra amiti, kind of what Nehemiah was alluding to before. That, you know, yes, there are some things. Murder, I know, is ra. But Abbasi, on the other hand, killing itself isn't always ra. Right? There are many times that killing is justified. There are many times that killing may even be encouraged under certain circumstances. So the great challenge in life is that often tova amiti and ra amiti are not easily distinguishable categories. But often, again, they're murkav. Often they're blended with one another. He says, Adam shenosia bikvish. So what's this? He goes back to the highway example. Person who's traveling on the road, v'lo moda l'sakonos lo sholi. And he doesn't understand the sakonos. So what's this? He's not in control of his driving process. Right? So if I'm driving, and I don't know the road's slippery. I don't know anything. I don't know that there are sharp turns. I don't know anything. So the mice, again, I'm not in control of my driving. We'll say the first step in the Ramchal's Zihiros, ultimately, again, is Gvura is strength, and strength manifests itself in Miyun, in the ability to properly categorize in life. We'll say, listen to this. We're going to start this today, and then we're going to have to stop in just a few moments. But this is an amazing piece. Rav Kook says, Ba'olasriya, Al achos mi'abrachos osa anu omrim kol boker. So we'll say, so remember, before we go into this, so what Rav Kashtil is positing over here is this notion that the real manifestation of strength in life, and ultimately the beginning of zihiros, because one of the manifestations of true strength is the ability to be attentive in life. The ability of attentiveness is this two-pronged process, number one, of being able to identify what is good, what is bad, and then step two, being able to identify the triggers. Without the ability to engage in that process, I'm not a gibor. I have no gvura. I have no strength. And he expresses this in an amazing way. So Rav Kook says in Olas Riyal, Achas mi'abrachos osa anu omrim kol boker b'chos ha'shachar. So Rav Kook, about four lines up from the bottom, page 37. So Rav Kook says, what are the brachos we recite every single morning? We say, Ozer Yisrael Bigavura. So we'll say, so literally the way we translate it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu girds Klal Yisrael with strength. Ma perush habracha. So if Kook asks, nu, what's the meaning of this particular bracha? HaGimara bebrachos omeres shekol birchos ha-shachar misyach sos lepulos shanachnu osim b'meshach ha-shkama. So we'll say, remember again, in a purest form, the brachos of Kriyashma, the brachos of Shachar, each correspond to something that I'm doing in the morning. Limros, shanachnu lahalocha mevarchim es hakol biyachad, avamitzad hadin yesh lecho bracha, avamitzad hadin lecho bracha yesh hisyachsus lepa'ula, page 38, lepa'ula acheres, sha'adam ose b'meshach ha'ashkama. So we'll say, in reality, as much as we recite Perchos HaShachar all together in shul, meaning when I say all together, I mean we not necessarily we do all together, but we recite all of the brachos at once. But nevertheless, if you look at the way Chazal formulated those brachos, each bracha is misaches, each bracha is connected to something that's happening in the morning. For example, HaGimara Omeres LaMashal, Adam Mizdakif, Mivarech Zokev Kifufum. So for example, in the morning I get up, and I stand up straight, I say the bracha of Zokev Kifufim, that God ultimately, he straightens the crooked. Noel Na'alayim, I put on my shoes. Mevarak Sha'asali called Tzarki. I go ahead and we'll say it's actually interesting concept that over shoes, you make the bracha of Sha'asali called Tzarki, that Hashem has given me everything I need. Interesting enough, over shoes. I'll say, just to give you a sensitivity to that, you know, when you speak to survivors, so one of the most important things, most important possessions that a person could have possessed during the war were shoes. Remember, my grandmother, Zichron Livracha, was on a death march. She said, you know, people may do without so many things. They may do without clothing. They may do without proper food. She said, if you didn't have shoes, you were done. There was no way you were going to last. So literally, we say the bracha every single morning. Sha'asali kol tzarki. Oset sa'ad rishon. A person goes in and takes their first step in the morning. Mevarech hamechin mitzadei gaver. I say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who establishes the steps of man. So we're going to have to stop over here for today. But again, we'll continue with this piece of Rav Kook. But the point, we'll loop this back. The point that we're leaving off with today is the concept that true gevura manifests itself in the ability to engage in the process of zehirus. The process of zehirus ultimately is a two-pronged process. Number one, identify what's the tofa amiti, what's the raha amiti, and number two, identify the triggers for each. Mirat Hashem will pick up with Rav Kook's exceptional insight into the notion of gevura Mirat Hashem tomorrow. Shkoyach.